From the world of sports to the world of pop culture and beyond, it's Step One, Learn Sports. Now, your hosts, Brittany Wench and Avery Harder.
Hello, and welcome to Step One, Learn Sports, the podcast bridging the gap between pop culture and sports. I am Brittany Wench.
I'm Avery Harder. We got producer Arby with us, and I'm going to say this every time we open up the podcast until someone picks up on what I'm putting down. I want us to go back and record the hello from like three or four episodes
well,
ago.
We haven't recorded.
And we're going to plug it in so you don't have to say hello anymore. I always want it to sound like that because regardless of how you say it, that's what I hear.
You just want it to be like that.
Yes. Hello.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll just change it up a little differently each time and see how many people catch my different tones.
I would like that. You can check out your different accents. Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard you do an
hello.
Accent. What is that?
I don't know. I was just kind of going for it. Avery, how are you? How are we?
I am great. I've been waiting until we got on the podcast to tell you this.
Okay, good. I can't
but
wait.
I think we talked about it yesterday or 2 days ago, but I got tickets to Loverfest.
Oh my gosh, you did?
I'm going to Boston.
Oh my gosh.
For, it's on August 1st. So it's the fourth Loverfest show. There's two in LA, the 25th and the 26th. And then she's in Boston, the 31st. And August 1st.
That is so exciting. Do you think she's going to remember you?
Oh my God. I'm in section 300, so probably not unless we sneak our way into the Lover's Lounge, but I'm going to go.
Have you ever been to Boston?
I have never been to Boston.
What a perfect excuse to go.
Yes, and I think the plan is to bring the boys along. It's not just going to be a girls' trip. We're going to bring the boys, and it's Yankees Red Sox weekend in Boston.
Oh my
so
gosh.
So boys can go to that, girls can go to Taylor Swift, and
it's
going to be
trip.
Fantastic.
That is so funny that you bring that up, because I was actually going to ask you if you had seen this. Are you familiar with the Tiny Desk concert?
Yeah, I watched
on NPR.
All the behind the scenes whenever they shot it last week, and I've
oh,
only gotten
no.
a
so you
few,
knew about this?
Yeah, I did.
I like sent this clip to Rhett, and I was like, don't tell Avery that I'm kind of setting her up for this.
Oh,
but
yes.
So I'm so fascinated by them. So this is the first one that I have ever seen. I don't know how this slipped
the
by. The Jonas Brothers did one. Brittany Howard from Alabama Shakes did them. Mm-hmm. But they're like kind of more like B-list type artists.
Yes,
that
she
do.
Is definitely the biggest one to have done
it. Oh, by far. I mean, I'd say definitely right behind her is the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah, they're a close second.
Yeah. But okay, so NPR puts these out, and they are literally at like just a small desk. The same guy who does like every song matters. What is All Songs Considered? All Songs
yeah.
Considered. He is the host of that show too, and so it's his desk, I guess, that everyone comes in. And I don't know. So did you get to watch this one?
I have not watched all. It was just released this morning. As I was getting ready to walk out the house, I've only watched a few minutes of it. I will put it on my TV when I get home tonight and watch it on, you know, big screen. I don't have surround sound, but I'll pretend that I do and really get into it. But I've learned today that it's not called Tiny Desk because the desk is so small, but because it's a tiny concert next to a desk.
Tiny.
It's called Tiny Desk Concert, but it makes you think super tiny desk.
Yeah.
Like smaller than a preschooler's desk. But it's like a normal desk. It's very crowded.
Well, for
tiny size concert though.
Tiny size concert. Yeah, like 300 plus people packed into this tiny, tiny room. And for those of you who have not heard it or heard about it, here's just kind of a little sample of what you can expect to hear from this about 28 minute Tiny Desk concert.
Tiny Desk is like one of my favorite corners of the internet. And I always love seeing, like, it's an opportunity for artists to decide a different way to showcase their music. And so you're kind of inundated by overwhelming opportunity and choices. Like, I just decided to kind of take this as an opportunity to show you guys how the song sounded when I first wrote them. So it's just me. There's no dancers, unfortunately.
We could leave the Christmas lights up till January. This is our place. We make the rules. Dazzling haze, mysterious way about you, dear. have I known you 20 seconds, 20 years? Can I go where you go?
Okay, now I'm totally zenned out. Here we are just like bopping along here, yeah, swaying to the beat.
The sway is real. I actually hadn't heard any of the music yet. Whenever she said that it's just her, none of the dancers, yes, that was the last part I watched. But I haven't watched any of the performances yet.
I love when she just does these stripped down versions. I love when artists do those just
in general. Yeah, I do too. That's what I love about Nashville is that we get all these writers rounds where you're hearing the number ones on the radio stripped down to how they were written in a dark room at midnight with two of your best friends, you know?
I totally agree. Here's a quote from Lindsay McKenna, who's the one who wrote kind of the synopsis of the evening. She says, some 800 Tiny Desk concerts since we published our first back in April 2008, long time, mm-hmm, the aim remains the same. In the midst of meetings and conference calls, Tiny Desk Concerts offers respite for the from the workday and opportunities to see artists reimagine their work in a strange setting. It's always special, but on some days it feels downright magical. Watching Taylor Swift perform and then interact with coworkers and guests who have grown up with her was simply enchanting. Cue Taylor Swift, Enchanted.
I do. Oh my God. What a song. I do know that she sings All Too Well, which is my favorite song ever written, and I think that my favorite song she will ever write.
You are going to love her explanation for that song then when it comes on, which, okay, kind of brings me to this thought.
Explanation, or should we want our explanation?
No, her explanation as to when she wrote it.
Oh, okay.
So, but kind of brings me to this cool idea that I had when I was watching this that either you and I can do or we add this somehow, but like, uh-huh, wouldn't it be so cool to do a podcast on It would have to be like a really long podcast, but each one would be on Taylor Swift songs, like from the very beginning, like behind the scenes,
wow, baby,
who she wrote it about, what their relationship is like now, I would think it would be so cool, like every single lyric, because she talks about in this Tiny Desk Concert, one of the lines in the songs that she says, I'm super proud of this. And I was like, wow, I actually never really thought about that line specifically being like a culmination of everything that she has dealt with up until this point.
I'd like to be my old self again, but I'm still trying to find it. That's the best line in All Too Well.
Oh, good.
She, I'm telling you, godsend. And since I met her, all the Swifties follow me on Twitter because they think that I'm like in the circle.
You have to live stream.
So
when
now
you go to
I
Love
have,
Fest.
Oh, well, they'll all be there, but I can FaceTime you.
Of course.
But I get all their analysis from it too, and I joined Tumblr because I'm really trying to get invited to a secret session for the next album. I'm really trying to get
go
in there.
Go for it.
So have all the insider scoop that we can bring to the new podcast.
Perfect.
We're going to think of a name.
Okay. We're like 10 minutes in and all we've been talking about is Taylor Swift. Not a bad thing. But I feel like we should get to some news. We are going to talk a little bit about football from over the weekend with a boy band twist, but mostly baseball because World Series. And then we're going to end with No Dumb Questions. So let's get into some news. Hit us with the skinny.
All right. Number one, Jalen Ramsey is officially out of Jacksonville and has been traded to the Los Angeles Rams.
So he'll now be on the Super Bowl champ runner-up team. Mm-hmm. Avery, how do you feel about this? Does this hurt for you?
No, it doesn't hurt. He didn't want to be on the team, so why would you want someone around you that doesn't want to be around you? But I'm jealous because now he's reunited with Blake Bortles.
Right.
He's the backup to Jared Goff.
Do you think that
the
was
Rams.
Like the undertone the whole time?
No, but there's now three players that were on the Jacksonville team in 2017 that almost went to the Super Bowl that are now playing for the Rams. So we'll see what they do with that. O.J. Simpson lands at number 40 of the USA Today Best NFL Players in League History.
So what a daunting task to have to evaluate all of those players all the way back to the 1920s. It's very interesting what they're doing in conjunction with the 100th NFL season. They had 19 current and former reporters across USA Today Sports Network rank these players. They are releasing them 10 at a time, so I think we are 31 through 100 right now.
Yeah.
And right behind O.J. Simpson is Aaron Rodgers.
Drew Brees is also in the top, or in that 31 to 40 range, which, who's to come?
Well, we haven't seen Brady yet.
No.
He's
up there.
He's going to be.
He's a goat.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
Number one, you think?
No, that's Bortles. The Dolphins and the Titans are in the middle of a QB carousel. Dolphins going back and forth between Josh Rosen and Ryan Fitzpatrick, and the Titans have finally sat their five-year starter, Marcus Mariota, for Ryan Tannehill.
So this is actually, I feel really sad about this. As much as everyone has like complained and moaned about Marcus and his performance, it like coming to this point where they're making the decision to bench him is kind of really sad in my eyes. He's been the unquestioned starter for the Titans for the past three seasons. He was drafted number 2 overall in the first round of the 2015 draft. However, it's so sad that he's just regressed severely since his career best season in 2016. He threw for 3,426 yards, 26 touchdowns, and only 9 interceptions that season. However, this year he has thrown for 1,179 yards, only completing 59% of his passes, which is his career worst, for 7 touchdowns and 2 interceptions.
And those 2 interceptions just came. He had actually had the longest current streak of completed passes with no interception, and then he threw 2 within 4 plays over the weekend.
Yes, he also has 2, speaking of which, 2 fumbles, and has been sacked 25 times through the Titans' 6 games this season.
That's not comfortable.
No.
Tiger Woods to write what is being described as a definitive story describing the behind-the-scenes look at his career and his divorce.
Do you think there's a waiting list for this book?
Yes.
So here's my thing about when people write books and memoirs.
Memoir, as Chris Jenner would say.
Yes. It's a way to make money. So, like, as a consumer, am I going to buy it? Yes. Of course. Am I going to read it? Of course. Am I going to believe everything that's in there? Most likely. And then I'm going to get on this podcast and I'm going to tell you all my theories about
it. We're here to drink the Kool-Aid. If anyone has any books they want us to read.
We are chugging the Kool-Aid. But, like, at the end of the day, you have to look at it from, like, a sales and marketing perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way for them to make money. So,
why not?
I mean, could he just do an interview and get everything out that he needs to get out? Yes. But
it didn't work out for Matt Lauer, so I can't imagine it's going to work out for Tiger Woods.
Yeah. Do you think we're going to see a book by Matt Lauer?
Oh, I sure hope so. I would read that.
Touchy subject.
UGA upset by unranked University of South Carolina in double overtime over the weekend.
Oh, my gosh. Poor Georgia. Things could not have gone worse for them. Not only did they lose, not only did they drop from number 3 to number 10 in the latest AP poll, but also Sanford Stadium in Athens, Georgia, full of history. The really iconic hedges that line the field really tell the stories that have happened on that field. So when South Carolina players started ripping stems off the hedges as souvenirs after the upset, people weren't very happy. There are pictures like all over the internet of the South Carolina players just like ripping out stems and putting in like giant bushels of these hedges in their mouths.
That's aggressive.
Yeah,
although,
very much.
I would have done the same thing.
All
right, final story, baseball update, and this is what we're going to get into for the meat of this episode. The Cardinals were swept in the NLCS by the Nationals. They are going to be one of the teams in the World Series. The Yankees and the Astros were supposed to play Game 4 tonight. It is now postponed to tomorrow due to rain.
Yes, this will be the first World Series in franchise history for the Washington Nationals, and the first time that we will be playing the World Series in the nation's capital since 1933.
That's incredible.
Yes, it's incredible. So before we get into all of our World Series talk, catch you up on baseball, we just want to touch on something really quick that happened over the weekend in the world of football. It was during the Seahawks-Browns game. We're highlighting this game for a very important reason. The Hawks went into this game 4-1 for the season. Cleveland Browns were 2-3. You know us. We've loved to talk about the Cleveland Browns.
Still holding on.
How good we think they're going to be. So the Browns scored within the first 2 minutes of the game, literally on their first series of the game. It was a beautiful handoff from Baker Mayfield to Nick Chubb, who ran for about 10 yards in for a touchdown. Then Russell Wilson runs it in for about 20 yards. Baker Mayfield then responds and runs it in for 20 yards. So this is all happening within the first quarter.
It's a lot of running touchdowns in one quarter.
Yes. The surprising aspect of it is that the Seahawks did not come out looking as strong as I think everyone was expecting them to be.
Yeah.
Yes, we've been talking about the Cleveland Browns having the glow up this season in the offseason. But the fact that Cleveland came out and just scored right away, they came out strong. Then they come out in the second quarter and they score again. Coming in really, really hot. So then a couple field goals are kicked. At the end of the second quarter, there are 25 seconds left. Russell Wilson finds Jerron Brown for about a 20-25 yard pass. catch made in the end zone. He like jumps over some photographer, and immediately you watch these players. It's Brown, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, and David Moore. They all find each other in the end zone. As if they had this. Hey, yeah, meet me here. Like there was no communication, like verbal communication.
It was telepathy.
It was all telepathy, and they met each other in the end zone to do the NSYNC bye dance.
Who, like, do you think when they're at practice, they practice that? Like, okay, when they're doing offensive drills, like red zone drills, 2-minute drills, do they practice that?
I think they have
practice
to.
In the locker room.
Oh.
In the locker room? Do they not want the coach to see RB?
I think it's all about presentation for everyone on whatever field. I don't think they do it in practice. I don't think the coaches would allow it, but I certainly think they do it in the locker room.
I bet they meet up at each other's houses like every Tuesday night, because Tuesday is usually the off day for the NFL, and they're spending their Tuesdays. They stretch, you know, do a little workout in the morning, and then they practice their celebrations.
Yes, I guess. So I was doing some digging, and I found that it's kind of widely known that the Seattle Seahawks are very well known for their...
They've had some great ones. They did the thing where you pop into the red kettle for Salvation Army.
Yes.
And then you popped out.
Yeah. Well, that didn't make the top 10 list, but there is... I found a top 10 list of from someone from the Seattle Times. A reporter had put together the top 10 best celebratory dances by the Seattle Seahawks. Doing the Macarena. Classic. Reenacting the scene from Life. People thought that this was like a reenactment of the
Is Life, the movie with Bachelor. Eve and Lindsay Lohan.
No, that. Oh, what was that movie?
I don't know.
Life Size.
May this be one, showing my age.
This one had Eddie Murphy in it and Martin Lawrence. But they were reenacting a scene from there. But everyone got it confused and thought that they were doing like the rose ceremony from The Bachelor.
Oh, that would be hilarious if someone did that.
I feel like I've seen that, though, but it may have been
this
one.
Maybe Clay Harbor did it since he was on The Bachelor this past year, and he played for the Eagles.
Perhaps. They've done Double Dutch. They've done the whole surf up thing.
Oh, yeah, I've seen Double Dutch.
The surf's up thing where like they lay on the ground, and they get up and act like they're surfing. They've been digging for gold. I'm making the hand motions.
Yeah, people can see it.
Like, people can see me.
It's really helping me grasp it.
They have done a boy band dance, but not, like, the NSYNC one.
Well, that's the most iconic. I can't think of another one besides, like, Soulja Boy. But I don't think Soulja Boy is a boy band.
No, they're not a boy band. I wouldn't consider them a boy band. But, okay, so they did the dance, and it was picked up by, like, Twitter and a whole bunch of sports analysts and sports news, and everyone's talking about it. Well, then this little thing popped up, and I go, huh. It's just things that make you go, hmm. The NSYNC Twitter account said, like, from us, it's a 10-10-10-10, like, as if we're...
Like a Dancing with the Stars situation, like Len Goldman's holding up a 10?
Yes, as if we're
Bruno
made...
Tognoli.
There you go.
As if we're made to believe that, like, all five of the members of NSYNC got together and said, hey, man, check it out. Hey,
they probably sent it to the group text.
Yes.
You think they have a group text?
Harry and Inaba, 7.
Okay, first of all, NSYNC has a Twitter?
When... Okay, so they're not doing, like, the Backstreet Boys comeback. I mean,
no.
They all get together whenever Justin receives an award. Like, he won the Video Vanguard Award. They all came out for, I think, half of maybe Bye Bye Bye.
Yes.
And then whenever he did the Super Bowl, they came out.
Right.
But is there enough content for them to justify having... Is it verified?
It's verified, yes. Justin Timberlake follows it.
That means it's real.
It's got to be, but my thing is they're no longer a band. So what are they tweeting about?
I bet it's
about?
Jessica Biel.
It could be Jessica. They've got 260,500 followers.
Wow. I wonder if any of the people that follow us also follow them. Do we have any mutual follows?
I don't know. I got to be honest. How do you look for somebody in, like, when you go to somebody's Twitter followers or who they're following, can you search for somebody in there? Because I know you can do it on Instagram.
I don't know that you can do it on Twitter. I think you can only do it on Instagram or maybe in, like, TweetDeck. On, like, some of the other Twitter sub apps, but I think that Twitter itself is going to be a no for them dog.
Probably. But, like, I just want to know who
runs... the Backstreet Boys have one?
Yes, of course.
One Direction.
They do.
I mean, they're broken up. Five Seconds of Summer, still alive.
Does One Direction have one?
I don't know. I don't think that they do. I think it probably their last tweet, if they have one still, would have said, we're not breaking up. We're just going on a hiatus for a year.
Which is exactly
AKA 2012, and here we are, 2019.
I know. And they're all doing their own solo careers.
Harry Styles just came out with new music.
I know. I really like it.
I love him.
I really like his music. I think the one out of those five that did the best musically, it's a tie for me between Zayn and Niall.
I like Zayn. Well, one, he had a song with Taylor Swift. Two, he dated Gigi Hadid.
Dated?
No, because Gigi was then dating Tyler Cameron.
Oh, that's right.
But they're not together anymore.
Okay, so that was very short-lived.
Well, she kicked him to the curb.
Man,
well, he was just using her for her celebrity, and she needed someone to go to her grandma's funeral.
Good point.
Because he did do that.
Yeah, and he was tall.
He was very tall.
Yeah.
And pretty. You know, well, not hard on the eyes, but he ate a lot of cookies, and I don't think she's into that.
I just want to know if the person running this NSYNC account is, like, getting paid. Like, because social media is...
Do you think it's like a fan account that got turned into the official account whenever, like, NSYNC stopped producing enough content to be able to have? Like, there's Taylor Swift. Taylor Nation is her fan group. Do you think that if Taylor stopped making content and stopped tweeting, Taylor Nation would assume the Taylor Swift 13 account?
I mean, it's possible.
I wonder. But I don't know. Twitter came out in like 2008, I believe. Twitter did not come out in 2011.
Yeah,
I had it in high school, and I graduated in 2011.
Okay, well, maybe it came out in 2010.
Well, maybe then. But the NSYNC has not come out with new music since like 2004.
I was trying to make the point. Yes, but that's my point too. Like, somebody had to have made this account after NSYNC broke up.
I'm going to cut this conversation off now and add another story to the skinny, even though it's off. This was the only thing I wanted to talk about today, and I forgot about it. Jennifer Aniston is on Instagram.
I know.
It is the only thing that matters.
She had 4.4 million followers in like 12 hours.
I couldn't follow her, so I found out that she was on it probably at like 7 o'clock yesterday morning. And I couldn't follow her until like 6 o'clock at night because she broke Instagram.
Yeah, she did.
Every time I went to follow, it would like say followed and then go back to unfollow because there were so many people trying to follow her at once.
I kind of really liked her whole persona of I don't have time for that anymore, though. Do you think it's really her or do you think she hired somebody?
Oh, I think it's her. She did a new post today, and the caption was, sorry, I broke it. I didn't know what I was doing, talking about Instagram. But she's in, like, a hair and makeup chair. There's someone behind her, and it looks like Gwyneth Paltrow is standing next to her, which I think they're actually friends. But then Reese Witherspoon posted a picture of them, too, and said, now I can tag you in Friends memes. Do you think Reese watches Friends?
Oh, of course. Reese was
in
Friends.
Oh, my God. She was one of her sisters. She's Jill.
Jill Green. Yeah, she was in it. Of course she watched
it.
Wow,
this is now a Friends and Taylor Swift stan podcast.
Yeah,
Sorry for our sports listeners.
I know. We have got to move on.
Yes,
onward and upward.
We can embrace the baseball. It's here.
World Series. And
just about two more weeks. Baseball.
Yes, just about 2 more weeks because then we will have the World Series champ.
That's right. 2 weeks from now is October 30th and baseball doesn't go past October. So I don't know when Game 7 would be slated to happen, but right now it's Houston Astros versus the New York Yankees for the ALCS.
That's right.
The Astros are up 2-1, and they were supposed to play Game 4 tonight, like we already said, but it has been rained out. They will be playing in New York tomorrow. A lot of Houston sports fans are mad because the Houston baseball park has a dome, a retractable dome, and if they were playing in Houston, they wouldn't have to.
Oh, they wouldn't have to delay
the game. But since they're playing in the Bronx, in New York. Do you think J-Lo and A-Rod are there?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, but doesn't he, like, own the Marlins?
Yes. I believe so.
Yeah, he owns some portion of the Marlins.
He owns some team.
Yeah.
But
he should buy the Yankees.
Isn't the Marlins, like, the only...
They're bad.
Yeah, the only team that's never made it to a World Series?
Oh, I don't know. What a fun fact if it is.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So, the Nationals have become Major League Baseball's 29th different franchise to reach the World Series out of 30 total teams, but it's the Mariners, not
the
Marlins.
The Mariners were my very first T-ball team mascot.
I was going to say, because when they were the Florida Marlins, they won back in the mid to late 90s.
Yes. No, you're right. It's Seattle Marlins.
And Wayne Huizenga owned them.
Yeah.
What a name.
Yes. But
founder of Blockbuster.
Whoa. We are...
Dropping knowledge.
Pouring out the fun facts.
So with Houston beating the Yankees in the 7-game ALCS in 2017, it is en route to its first World Series championship.
I don't know if they can do it. I think a lot of people have become Houston fans because in the 2017 World Series run, that's when everyone found out that Justin Verlander, one of the great pitchers for the Astros, is dating Kate Upton. They may indeed be married now.
It is.
But I think that has drawn a lot of attention from those who may not have already followed baseball or Houston sports, because the fact that this baseball player who really hit his stride in 2017 is already dating one of the biggest models, and she had just gone through her Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition and was considered the first plus size model to do it, which is insane.
Yeah, she's absolutely beautiful. I don't think I follow her on anything, though. I used
to
follow
her. Oh my God, you should. She's a huge Verlander fan, obviously.
Oh, is she really?
Yeah, she wears his jersey all the time.
A true story of resiliency, I think, out of this whole playoff run is the Nationals, since they started off the season absolutely horrendously. Back in May. Well, back in May, they had a 19-31 record and the second worst record in all of the National League. Their playoff odds were 22%, and their odds of reaching the World Series were 3.9.
I wonder if we're going to get another kind of Cinderella story. You know, we've talked about how the Blues won the Stanley Cup.
Yes.
Out of St. Louis, because they had the worst record in the NHL in January of this year, and come June, they won the Stanley Cup.
That's true. I think we could probably see it.
I wonder if we'll have another one.
I would. You know what? I'm rooting for that.
I'm rooting for the Nationals because a lot of National fans are now no longer bitter and are now kind of super happy that Bryce Harper was traded to the Phillies. And we covered this a long time ago with this blockbuster $300-plus million deal for superstar Bryce Harper to go from the Nationals to the Phillies. And whenever he was in the Nationals, he kept saying, like, the only thing I want to do is bring a championship back to D.C. Like, the nation's capital needs this. And then he goes to Philly, and here we are going to the World Series.
Mm-hmm. Here we are.
I mean, I wanted the Cardinals to win because my boyfriend's a Cardinals fan, like I said last week. But he doesn't seem too upset. He seemed as expected.
I'm not too.
It's kind of with the Braves.
Right. Yeah. I'm not too crazy about the Cardinals.
Yeah. Oh, you're a Cubs.
Right. I'm a Cubs fan, and also having gone to school in Missouri. In case anybody didn't know, I went to school
Brittany
in Missouri.
Went to school in Missouri. I have a tattoo on my right arm of six dashes. That is the six members in my family. And I'm now going to turn it into a tally system.
For how many
to
times?
To add in how many times
I mentioned
that
it.
You say that you've gone to Mizzou. So I think I'm going to need another arm.
Just in case somebody's tuning in for the very first time, that's where I went to school and had to work at a restaurant where everybody was Cardinals fans, and I had to basically act like I'd never heard of who the Cubs were. And
I feel that.
I just got my fair share of like overflowing cups of Cardinals fans, because that was the year that they won the World Series.
Yeah. Oh yeah, 2015.
No, well,
2011.
2011. Yes,
2011.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the year. That was the year. But yeah, so the Nationals will face the winner of the American League Championship Series, which features the New York Yankees versus the Houston Astros.
I would like to see the Yankees. I don't hate them. I've never really had a reason to. I like A-Rod. I don't hate Derek Jeter. I don't have huge alliances in baseball, but there is nothing better than a ballpark dog, I gotta tell you.
Oh,
a hot dog
nothing's
at a
more
ballpark
American.
Stadium and like an ice-cold beer. That's what America was founded on. Throwing some apple pie if you can find it.
That's living. That is living.
That's it.
Game four of the American League Championship Series was scheduled to be played today. We said it's postponed. Game four will now be played Thursday, October 17th, which is tomorrow at 8:08 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And game five will be played on Friday, October 18th at 7:08 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
I think a lot of people are probably happy because the Dodgers, they had the best regular season, what's it called? Wins versus losses. I just can't think of the word right now. But they had the best
record.
Yes, Arby. I was going to say
record?
I was going to say outcome, but I'm glad we got there as a group.
Record.
But
here to help.
They had the best regular season record. They were expected to just run the table. They're obviously not in it since we haven't said their name. And I'm kind of glad that there's no West Coast games, because that really throws off my bedtime,
gosh.
I got to say.
Yes, you are up until like 1 in the morning watching these games, especially if they go into extra innings.
Yeah, like you will be up all hours of the night. And I mean, sometimes you just got to make time for Grey's Anatomy, Riverdale, This Is Us, sometimes. A Million Little Things, Law & Order SVU, Modern Family, and then Friends on Netflix, because all of that is live and brand new.
Yes.
And then Friends on Netflix.
So you know what I realized talking about TV shows, and I think I may have said this to you very recently, but everyone always said, so Friday night, I had a bunch of friends over to my apartment to watch the new Breaking Bad movie, El Camino. Yeah. And everyone was talking about wanting to watch it. It's coming out. And I was like, oh yeah, I've seen commercials for it. Like very excited. So everyone was like, well, where should we watch it? I was like, oh, just come over to my place. Like that. No problem. So everyone comes over and I'm like setting out like, you know, like little snacks and stuff. Just being the host. And I was like, so who hasn't seen the series? And no one raised their hand. And I go, oh,
you didn't want to. You didn't want to.
Am I the only one? But I realized, because everyone's like, you have to watch Breaking Bad. And I'm like, I want to.
I already
but
know I what happens, though.
Realize a couple of things, though. I find shows that I like and I watch them over and over and over and over.
Yeah,
and over
I can't
again.
Stop watching Friends.
Yes, but I also really don't like scary things or violence because I have nightmares.
Ooh, I like scary. But I know what happens because whenever it was happening live, people, like all of America, was behind it. It's the one thing we agreed on that year to watch it.
Breaking Bad.
Yes. And so since I know what happens, I don't particularly care as much. And if it's longer than 22 minutes, you just don't have my attention.
Yeah. For a show, you mean?
Yes.
Yes.
Unless it's live. But if I'm having to sit through 42 to 44 straight minutes, no commercials, trying to watch the show on Netflix, I can maybe get through one or two episodes a night before I'm like mentally drained. Whereas Friends, 12 episodes,
true,
pile it up.
True. They're very easy to catch up on because they're much shorter. But like, what about something the one that comes off the top of my head is The Kardashians is longer than 22 minutes.
It is, but it's a different type of content.
True.
So funny and like lighthearted and kind of like dramedy, I can do.
So I like,
but the seriousness is what.
Yes,
when I actually have to think, I don't really have to think watching the Kardashians.
True, which is why I love to have it on in the background.
Yes,
but
mindless guilty pleasure.
That's exactly. Yes. That's like my.
Ooh,
go-to.
Can we share our guilty pleasure show? Like first one that comes to mind.
Okay,
Sister Wives,
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
say it proudly.
I am. I'm very proud of it. It's such trash TV.
RB, what's yours? I feel like you have a good one.
Mine is, it's not very exciting. Gold Rush, Alaska, where they mine
gold. What in the world?
Is that on like Discovery Channel?
Yes.
Alaska.
Isn't that silly?
Yes.
And way out of the range of what you two ladies are talking about.
Yeah, but you're so into, I mean, you're around football all day and pop culture and everything going on in Nashville. It's a good way to decompress.
Gotta turn it off.
Yes. Again, mindless, guilty pleasure.
That's how I feel about Sister Wives or anything on Food Network.
Sister Wives is some good drama.
That's
now.
Some
I'm
good
okay
stuff.
With that.
Yeah. I was into it.
I used to like religiously watch Drunk History.
I've only watched one episode ever and I actually enjoyed it.
It is so funny. It makes something so complex like a story from history with figures who are no longer around and puts this modern day funny spin on it with actors and actresses that you're used to seeing with a historian who just like tells the story in the most like layman terms ever as they've had a couple cocktails and maybe even like been way, way, way too overserved. But the nice. Guy who runs it is absolutely hysterical. If you have not seen it yet, it's on Comedy Central. It is worth a, like, you know, Friday night, pour yourself a glass of wine, kick your feet up, just sit back and get the giggles.
What do we really think about history? Do we think that, like, some guys were at a bar in, like, 1903, and they were like, dude, my parents are dead. I don't know what happened. They just made it up. And then we've just been going off stories that people have been making up outside of the Bible because that was written. But even that.
I think we've found documents.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Are they forged?
No.
How do we know?
No.
Thankfully, there were some smart people, very much smarter than I will ever dream of being, who archived and kept journals of things that actually happened. You mentioned the Bible. The Bible is a collection of letters to the church, right? Well, there's people that did all kinds of archival historical things as they happened, I guess because they knew they were important, and they took the time to do it, thank goodness.
I want to know how someone figured out how to read a hieroglyph.
I don't know. Avery, I feel like the next thing you're going to say is that you think the world is still flat. So,
well,
and that I and that you don't believe in evolution
yet, but no, we have thumbs. That's how you know evolution is real. We have thumbs.
Gosh. On that note, speaking of things like that, Avery, no dumb questions.
I think the history one might have been it. I thought it was going to be profound, but I guess it wasn't.
We are so sorry to those of you who have written into us for this week with your no dumb questions. We'll answer them on Twitter, or we will get to you in next week's episode. I think wrapping up with is history real? I think that's it. I think that's it.
I'm gonna go do some research.
Yeah, man, it's been a long day. It's been a really long day. Hey, that's all right. You know what? There is no such thing as a dumb question because I asked why there was Washington D.C. and Washington last week. So.
That's true. Before we sign off, let me go ahead and set you up one more time to say this.
Excellent,
Brittany. What are you doing this weekend?
I am going to the Vanderbilt University of Missouri game here in Nashville.
Are you an alma mater of either of those two schools?
Mizzou. I am. Okay, just in case you don't know, Missouri Tiger blood runs thick with three C's, my friend.
There's only one word for that weekend activity. Hello!
Oh, thank you all for listening to this week's podcast, this episode of Step One Learn Sports. We release new episodes every Wednesday. Please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at S1LSPodcast and now on Instagram.
That's right, now on Instagram. Thank you, RB, for being with us. We'll be back next Wednesday. We will not be here on the 30th of October. Just a reminder.
Avery will be out of the country.
I'll be in London.
Yes.
London, baby.
Thank you. Bye.